final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap!
Operator, give me the number for 911.
The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see. My woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch a cat. Fish from dusk till dawn. We make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those wooden old boys raised on shotguns. We say grace, we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. We came from the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. We can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land.
trot line, and a country boy can survive.
Country folks can survive. Country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
game is going on in here? What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
So Shaziz here, you're listening to the Mad Science Show here on a wonderful Saturday, whatever time it is your time. Anyway, say, I've been noticing that here recently on some of my podcasts that I've been stuttering a lot. So it's like if that makes your brain hurt, really apologize for that. It's just that all the craziness going on out here in this world, it's just kind of hard for me to comprehend. I feel like my brain is short now. So I find myself every once in a while getting so extremely passionate that I'm thinking like 10 million miles an hour, and I'm trying to think about what I want to say next, but I'm still frustrated about what I heard or saw or whatever. And so I find myself stuttering. Find myself having my brain just kind of locks up there in seconds because I'm looking at this world and I'm like, what the heck is going on, man? There couldn't be this many stupid people. It just drives me insane. So over here on Shazoo's Mad Science /SuperChat HTML, I put in some video links. I also put them over there in the Wake Radio chat room. First link that I put up there was a video that was put out by Dabu7, and they're talking about how they want to terraform Mars. They want to, DARPA's talking about sending genetically modified biological organisms to Mars and trying to terraform Mars and heat up Mars. So I was like, I put a comment in there somewhere. I was like, hasn't anybody ever seen any of them eat your face off movies? I don't think that's necessarily such a good idea. And I said, good idea would probably be to send all the governments of the world and the liberals to the doggone Mars and let them terraform it or sort it out. Anyway, in the process of doing that, somebody called me an idiot. Yeah, whatever. Talking about terraforming another planet when they're tearing up the planet we're on is kind of nuts, if you ask me. So I think that, what better way to get the both problems solved? Send all the liberals and the doggone governments over to the Mars and let them fix that up with all the genetically modified that stuff that they could do. I could just see that, too, somewhere like a couple hundred years or maybe even 1,000 years into the future, Mars and Earth gets into a battle because, we got everything sorted out down here and we like it all calm and peaceful and, sense of normality going on. And, they just want to fight or whatever. Who knows? Anyway, sending off to Mars don't seem like a very good idea. I mean, it's pretty doggone cold over there because they're pretty far away from the sun and they don't have, Mars doesn't have very much of an atmosphere from what we've been told by the supposed science guys over at NASA. We don't know. Anyway, so that was one of the links I posted over there. I posted also a link from another channel over there that is about the Newmar station. I can't even remember where it is. It's way up, either up in the North Pole or down in the South Pole or something like that. But either way, it has to do with people that's saying all the stuff about there's two suns in the sky, the planet Nibiru, Planet X, or whatever you want to call it, and basically the lady's showing some video. I actually posted a link for the actual observatory that's up there in the chat room so that you could click on, you could actually go through and look at the webcam links and stuff like that, pictures of it. I also posted a video to their YouTube channel as well for the Newmar station so that if you want to go see if you can catch a glimpse of Planet X or the second sun flying over the horizon in the morning, then maybe you'll get a chance to see it. I don't know. I'm going to worry about whatever's down here on this planet, and if the Planet X or Doomsday asteroid comes down and does its dirty deed or whatever, then we'll just worry about it when it gets here. I'm getting too tired for all that craziness. There's another link that I posted down there to a guy named Lidmotor. Now, whereas he doesn't do a lot of really in-depth how-tos on his projects, he does show some really amazing anomalies going on in some of his deals. This particular video is about a pulse motor that he put together, using some parts out of a doorbell or a door alarm system. It's if you get an opportunity to go over there and check Lead Motors' channel out, he does some pretty neat little videos, and he does some static motors and static generators. He actually built a wind static generator that he was running off of a fan. That was a pretty good one. I should have posted that link as well. But a lot of the things that you see out there on some of these YouTube channels are pretty good information if you want to work on some projects. And so with that said, there's also another link down there at the bottom that I put to another man's channel where he basically shows a bunch of stuff that he pulled out of old microwaves and kind of gives a little bit of a rundown of what you know, they were intended for in there, and talking about repurposing the stuff. And his YouTube channel is the Post-Apocalyptic Inventor, I believe it is. But I really like this particular video in here because I'm always talking about repurposing things and being able to like turn old motors, electric motors, into generators and stuff for worst case scenario, so you got a little bit of power maybe to charge some batteries and keep some lights and fans on in the worst case scenario. So videos like that where people are tearing things apart and showing you things that are inside there, you know, I really enjoy those kind of videos. There was a show quite some time back, I don't know if it's still airing or not, called Junkyard Wars, and I was really liking that movie, or the show, because in Junkyard Wars, they basically come up with a project, and then they would go through the salvage yard, and they would find whatever parts they could to build, so they were repurposing parts out of the junkyard. And they came up with some pretty good things, but some of their... some of their techniques I probably would have went a better route to, because I'm sitting here hollering, it'd be great if I could get like me and Muddy Mudman and a few of the other alternative energy researchers out there to actually go on that show. It would be a blast, because I'm positive that we'd win that episode, because the ideas that we talk about are more realistic, and we could do a lot of cool stuff with that kind of access to that kind of junk and tools. But in a worst case scenario, would you know how to make a generator or a wind turbine, whatever? I put a video out there called Free Thinkers 1, 2, and 3 so far, and I'm working on a project in there that I hope everybody gets to check out. It's in my on my YouTube channel over there at www.youtube.com/Aziz. If you check that out, you can see the latest project that I'm working on, and I'm hoping that I get a lot of people interacting with me on this particular project and asking for a lot of comments, and I want people to think way outside the box and tell me what it is that they either think that it is that I'm working on, or what would they do with it, alternative uses, that kind of stuff. Because the whole idea is to get people to thinking about different things that they could use and thinking outside the box. You know, we've been told forever and a day what's what and this is that and that's all there is and that kind of stuff. And for Pete's sake, if you go over there to thumb a doggone video down, just at least tell me something in the comment, a thumb down because you look funny or, you know, one guy told me he thumbed me down because I had the lightning bolt at the beginning of the show, which I kept in because I like that lightning crack it there. It's kind of like school's in session, you know. They ring the bell and everybody runs to class, that kind of deal. That's my own little touch on the deal there. I like it. So I guess I'll have to take a thumbs down for every time I get a lightning bolt. But if you're going to go over there and thumb a video down, at least to give me some sort of idea what it is you didn't like about it. I mean, it's not the thumbing down part that really gets on my nerves. It's the fact that, you know, just fly by, thumb it down, don't say nothing, you know. Tell me what stinks about the video. And then I know that you're actually thinking, you know. It's not just a fly-by or drive-by, thumbs down, or kind of deal. It drives me nuts. I guess that's like my Achilles heel. I kind of let these nerds get under my skin sometimes. But anyway, the video series is about thinking outside the box and opening a line of communication between me and my subscribers out there and troubleshooting some ideas and possibly coming up with a whole lot more. You know, you take a basic concept such as the old pop-pop boat, you can expand on that. And all the different anomalies out there such as thermoelectrics, hydroelectrics and stuff, the Lenz law and stuff that the people, there's some things that people don't want in certain things like static electricity. I mean, you know, there's industries out there that actually use a grounding strap so that you're not messing up the circuitry whenever you're trying to put something together. So in some instances, static electricity is bad, but in others, it could be actually really useful. One of the things that Lidmotor points out in some of his videos is that you can actually store static energy, static electricity, inside capacitors and use it for a usable deal. You actually get physical work out of it, which I've been saying forever and a day. So, since energy travels in waves the way that it does for every single thing out there, if you step back and look at the big picture, and you think about all the possibilities out there, they're endless. There's so many different frequency waves out there, just mind-boggling. Now, some folks are worried about certain frequency ranges that might be not beneficial to your health or such like that. That's all part of research. You know, you got to weed through the system to find out what it is that's good and what it is and what it ain't. Excuse me. Doggone, I hate it when that happens. Coffee went down the wrong lung. Anyway, you know, nature has a lot of good frequencies, and there are some nature or even man-made frequencies that might not be beneficial to the human body. You shouldn't tamper with Mother Nature anyway. But there's a lot of things out there they say can't be done that I don't believe that they can't be done. So I'm like a rebel against the laws of physics. Doggone it, I'm going to cough my lung up here in a second. Anyway, so the Free Thinker series out there, I want people, when they watch that video, to take the ideas as far as they can go. And I don't even care if I get crazy ideas, because to me, nothing's crazy. Because I believe all things are possible when you dare to dream. And that's what it's all about. So, there's three of those so far. There'll be some updates because I'm continuously adding to the system. And when you see what it is that I'm working on, y'all, I think you'll like it. Man, that's bad for radio, all that coughing and stuff. But, hey, you know, what would it be? Anyway, so in the alternative energy community out there, I'm thinking that when individuals want to try to work on alternative energy, they shouldn't put all their eggs in one basket. A system to supplement a system and a backup for a backup and all this kind of stuff. See, most of the people out there is hollering about how perpetual motion isn't possible, but is it? You know, could it very well be possible that if you added a system to something else, you know, to supplement it, such as, okay, that it's not sunny outside, but it is windy, so you use the wind for a backup. Maybe it's not windy out, but it's sunny, so you use the sun. There's all kinds of drawbacks to everything, and there's all kinds of pluses and minuses on both sides. You know, there's heat involved in the sun, there's light involved in the sun, there's all kinds of different ways in order to tap into energy that's all around you. So if you don't put all your eggs in one basket and you funnel it all to the center, what do you got? You got a system that will literally take care of itself. It'll energize itself, it'll work itself out whenever things aren't right. You know, you got in the static energy alone, you got the Lord Kelvin generator, you got the Hauksbee device, you got the Wimshurst, the Van de Graaff, and it just goes on and on. There's a Tesla's radiant energy patent out there, which pretty much picks up static energy. And you know, you've done it yourself. You've walked across the carpet, you've built up a static charge, you walk over and touch your brother on the ear and zap him. So, you know, there's some energy going on there. Static energy being the most prevalent in our atmosphere out here, you know, that's where lightning comes from. You get a static charge build up between the earth and the ground, and kapow, you know, you get a lightning bolt. But there's a whole lot more going on to that lightning bolt than meets the eye. You know, you're getting visible light, you're getting heat, you're getting high voltage. And so with that said, doggone it. With that said, then why can't we tap into that? We know that we can store it, and so maybe that's what we should be doing. Maybe we should be using static energy. That's one of the many ways out there, one of the many different forms of energy that we have available to us. I'm going to type in a comment down here, it's over here in this chat. My brain is only functioning on half speed. Let's see if I can get somebody who want to come in here. There we go. All right, now, I'm back. Sorry about that. But, so, when I see videos like this one down here from post-apocalyptic dude that's tearing things apart, washing machines and stuff like that, and I'm wanting to interact with him while he's on the video. I wish there was a way I could talk to him while he's on the video. But that's where I think the whole virtual labs thing would come in handy. Where we could actually real-time do that kind of stuff, because I see a lot of ideas, and there's things that, you know, maybe he might not have seen that we could point out to each other and stuff like that. So really love to have a chat with him if I ever get the opportunity to. I believe he's over in Germany. But anyway, you know, if you limit yourself to one thing, or if you're willing to close your mind because of the so-called laws of physics, then and you can't think outside the box, and you only can go so far. You know, sometime in the past they said the earth was flat, and now there's a big huge debate over whether or not the earth is flat, the earth is concave, the earth is whatever, you know. It doesn't matter. We're here. we're in a system that's just kind of really seriously messed up. Electric bills keep going up, and the prices of fuel and everything else keep going up, and it just drives me insane to sit around and listen to all this kind of stuff about how the world is, you know, the planet's heating up because of CO2 or whatever, you know. It's continuously driving me nuts. I sometimes think it'd be better off if I didn't even listen to, you know, people out there on YouTube or the news or whatever, because basically they're all running around in circles like chickens with their head cut off. They're not trying to come together and work together like these networks out here, you know. There's a lot of really brilliant researchers out there on YouTube. I wish they could all get together, you know, and start working on some projects together. There are a couple that do get together and work on projects. But as far as the alternative energy, you know, it's not ever going to happen the way that it's going. It's just not. Because the governments of the world, they like the tax money that they're going to get off of fossil fuels. On one hand, they tell you they don't want fossil fuels, but on the other hand, they want to tax it, you know? And the same thing applies with solar power and wind power. On one hand, they're telling you to reduce your carbon footprint, but then on the other hand, they want to tax you for it. They want to tax you to gather up rainwater. They want to tax you for everything under the sun. Heck, if your cow's burping or farting, they want to tax you on the methane. So what are they going to do? Put Israeli gas mask on the cows and corks in their butt so that they can not cause global warming and such? You know, it's kind of ironic whenever you're talking about global warming while you're shoveling 20 inches of snow off your driveway. And whenever it's cold outside, it becomes climate change. When it's hot outside, it becomes global warming. And it doesn't matter what area you're in. The weather these days is all jacked up. And they keep on saying that there ain't nobody doing no chemtrails or nothing like that. Nobody's doing weather modification. Yet there's companies out there that literally advertise that they do weather modification. So how you gonna look at me out the one crooked eye you got and tell me one thing out the side, one side of your neck, while the other thing is coming out the other side of your neck, and I'm seeing something totally different than what it is that you're saying? That's why I call it mad science, and that's why I find myself stuttering every now and then, because it just drives me freaking bonkers. You know, we've got every single thing we need to fix this planet. We've got every single thing we need to make sure that everybody's got food and water and everything that they need to survive, shelter, all of that. We can build houses that don't fall down. I mean, you can learn something from a little story like the three little pigs. One guy built his house with sticks, the other one built his house with straw, and one built his house with bricks or whatever. Sticks, bricks, straws. Build a mud hut. That's what all Al Gore should be living in, is a mud hut, because he's the one out there, he's the king of propaganda when it comes to the whole climate change thing, talking about how doggone planet's going to heat up and sea level's going to rise and all the ice is going to melt and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, it's been God knows how many years since this whole sham started. And so far, none of it ever come to pass. And he went and bought him a huge mansion and still flies around in the corporate jet and rides around in a limousine. So if you ain't practicing what you preach, then you might not want to be out there preaching it. That's what all I can say about that. But, you know, when you listen to all these folks out there talking about all this kind of stuff, we gotta get energy independent. There's one. We got to reduce our carbon footprint. There's two. There's all kinds of people that are getting paid to literally sit around the table and talk for many hours and never even say nothing. Drives me nuts. I mean, if you're talking for all that time and there ain't no solutions coming out of it, well, we got to do this and we got to do that and nothing ever comes out of it, and you're still 10-15 years later hollering about global warming. How long does it take to heat up the planet, man? Really? Put a bucket of water on your doggone stove and turn it on. Just turn it on really low. Heck, heat it with the pilot light for that matter. And see if it takes 20 years for you to completely evaporate all that water. You know, NASA coming out saying ignorant stuff like, oh, well, the planet's running out of water. And then when I point out the fact that there's the Earth is three-quarters covered in water, some little NASA groupie comes running out and tells me what kind of a retard I am because I pointed out that the Earth is three-quarters covered in water. He's like, well, that's freshwater, retard. Really? Well, there's all kinds of filtration systems out there. It's kind of neat. You can go down by the, like say down there in Florida, and you can watch where the salt water meets the fresh water, and it actually changes colors to some point. But you think that salt water ain't working its way into the system and inland, and then working its way down in through the ground and filtering it out, and eventually becoming fresh water? Where the huge desalination plants that they do over in Dubai that are actually producing fresh water for the town or the city that they built their own. They actually built the ground they're standing on. They have huge skyscrapers built on compacted sand that they made the island out of. Now, you know, would I have built an island out of sand? I don't know if that's necessarily the best idea in the world, because, you know, liquefaction, whenever there's an earthquake or something like that, it seems to me like you'd be on a quicksand island after a while. So, I don't know, maybe they got it all sorted out, but either way, it's pretty ingenious what they've done. They basically overcame. And even going back and looking at that Newmar Observatory, I think it's in Alaska. I think it's way up there in the Antarctic or something. I don't know. I didn't even pay attention anymore. There's just so much stuff going on. But anyway, it's pretty impressive that this deal's, they're living up there in sub-zero weather, you know. It's never warm up there. And that's they found ways to survive. So they're doing all their research, you know, planetary research. Do they get up every morning and see Planet X over there? I don't know. Do they see a second sun on the horizon? I don't know, man. I ain't never been there. So it's going to be up to somebody to look out there and check into that. There's a link on there you can keep an eye on. But the conspiracy is that they know something's going on and they keep blocking it out. Well, ironically enough, there's another deal out there where they turned around and said that Google Sky has been blocking out a certain section of the space or whatever, and here recently decided to put it back in there, and now there's this like winged planet out there, that Planet X, you know, it's coming to get us. Another boogeyman to worry about. I have to question people's motives whenever, you know, they do stuff, because first off, some of the pictures that even on Google Sky to me don't really look all that impressive anyway. So, you know, get a smudge on the optics and it could look like a winged planet. I don't know. Is Planet X out there? I don't know and I don't care. If it does show up, then I'll deal with it when it shows up. Plus, I'll deal with it whenever it rocks the planet off its axis or whatever. You know, I'm not going to live in fear because of something that, to me, hasn't been proven. But either way, there's a lot of wild stuff going on in this world out there. In the alternative energy community, I've watched a lot of people doing a lot of amazing things with all different kind of circuitry. The Slayer Exciter circuit and, you know, Tesla coils and all kinds of stuff. You know, and Matthew Drummond, he's been working on, I think it's Gerald Morin or Morin, something like that. He's been working on some of the stuff that he's been showing with using the washing machine electric pump there, that they're turning into generators. So there's actually people out there that are redefining what we how we understand electricity and such. There's all kinds of potential out there, and it's the free thinkers that are doing stuff like that that I'm interested in. I'm liking the guys that are going out there repurposing old washing machines to take out the stator motors in there and different other motors like you can find in a microwave oven, stepper motors and pulse motors and all the different stuff that people are working on. Excuse me, I had to get a drink of coffee. There's a lot of fascinating research going on. And I'm thinking that, you know, even though most of us don't have a very good lab or even funding for that matter for our research, we're able to scrounge around and find different things that we use for research. And use what we know, our basic science of everything, you know, and actually do some research and get some results out of. Even though we don't have very impressive labs, so to speak, I feel like we're doing better science than NASA or any of the other guys out there with the multi-million-dollar budgets and such. Because at least we're taking what we have learned or rediscovered that other people have learned, and we're passing that information on, and other people are learning from it as well. and they're coming up with new ideas, and it's, you know, that's how you move forward. But there's been so many different ideas out there that have been suppressed, and people keep telling me all the time, oh, well, what technology is being suppressed? Dude, we're in the year 2015, okay? The year 2000, who would have thought that, like, this guy out there on YouTube cracks me up, Grindall, I can't remember what the rest of his deal is. I'll have to post a link later, but he's talking about how California wants to put all these bike things in there, community bike systems, and so we're going from the year 2000, where everybody was dreaming about we'd be flying in cars by then, to back to bicycles. So we're going backwards in time there. Our technology's de-evolving, so to speak. Yeah, it drives me insane because we should be so much further advanced. You know, if space travel is possible, then we should be doing it. You know, they say we went to the moon, and then basically there's people out there that say we didn't go to the moon. They cite things like the Van Allen radiation belt. How in 1969 did they get past the Van Allen radiation belt? Is the moon a hologram? Is the moon a giant space station? Is it hollow? Is there people living on the other side or aliens on the moon? Man. So whenever you're sitting there trying to contemplate the situation of the whole overall big picture of everything, and you're listening to everything that's going on out there, it'll rattle your brain. It's just, it's maddening, you know. The Earth is an amazing thermoelectric generator of epic proportions. So it already has more than enough energy in what it does alone to run every single electrical appliance on this planet 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year for the next 10 billion years without ever even having to shut it off. Yet, you got individuals out there talking about how we got an energy crisis. You know? Sometimes people tell me that, well, we'd be better off if we didn't even have electricity. Well, maybe we would. But electricity is a pretty neat deal because it pumps water. You can use it for heating. You can use it to watch your TV and your computers and all that kind of stuff. So since I like nifty gizmos, I happen to like electricity, if that's all right with you. And so with that said, want to have some sort of system set up just in case the power ever goes down. Matter of fact, down here in my general area, there was a microburst went off, and 60,000 people were without electricity. I don't even know if they even got it back on yet. 60,000 people. No lights, no way to run their refrigerator, no way to run their TVs and all that kind of stuff. And that was just nature, microburst, come in, blew down a bunch of power lines and tore up a bunch of stuff and made a mess out of the situation. So had they known a little bit about alternative energy and had some kind of system set in place, then everything would have been good. But then here's another thing about that whole deal, is that if you're living in an apartment complex, the people at the apartment complex aren't going to allow you to put solar panels out in the yard on your own. Now, what would stop the apartment complex from actually caring enough about their tenants in order to basically invest in that themselves in case the power grid ever went down? If I own this huge apartment complex or whatever, I would want to be sort of self-contained just in case of a worst-case scenario. I mean, it makes a little bit more sense to have the lights on whenever all heck is breaking loose as opposed to the alternative. And so why aren't the people who own these apartment complexes, or even the government in themselves, setting in regulations saying, well, just in case the power grid goes down, we need some sort of backup system, because you got all these people living here. You know, we need to make sure that they still have what they need in case a system failure. That's the way that society should be trying to look at things. You know, setting things up the way to protect oneself and others out there. It just drives me bonkers. 60,000 people without power. And then the power companies out there, they get money from the government to supplement their losses or whatever, and they pass the bill off to you for taxes or whatever. Now they want to throw carbon taxes on there, so the average Joe now has to pay even a larger light bill. And you take somebody's income, such as maybe an elderly retired couple that may not have a lot of money, and $4 or $5 to you might not be that much money, but $4 or $5 to them could very well be the difference of whether they could afford some medicine or something like that. So I think society's kind of got things all kinds of backwards. And then that's why I'm interested in alternative energy, because I think that the power companies are kind of basically taking advantage of people. And, you know, they're getting things from the government that supplement their deal. And I'm thinking, all right, well, if the government's actually there to take care of you, the government's sitting there talking about how we got to reduce our carbon footprint and all that kind of stuff, and we got to save the planet from global warming / climate change / climate disruption or whatever it's going to be next week, then maybe we ought to be really taking this thing serious and doing something about it. But it obviously is not, and I repeat, it obviously is not that important. If it was the tragedy that they say that it is, and keep in mind, this is United Nations as well. This is all the nations of the world. If climate change was that big of a deal, and it was like, we're really all going to die if we don't get this under control, that the planet's heating up and all this kind of stuff, why are they still sending war machines around the world? Why aren't they doing something to resolve the situation as opposed to making it even worse? If you think that carbon, if you really honestly believe that carbon is destroying the planet, why are you still using it? You see what I'm saying? They're talking out the side of their neck. They're skewing the numbers. They're trying to scare the crud out of people. They're trying to bring everybody under some umbrella of a one world government or whatever. They're doing all the crazy stuff that they're doing. They're telling you to reduce your carbon footprint. And the Queen still rides in a limousine. The senators and the congressmen, big convoys to get them from point A to point B. But we got to reduce our carbon footprint. Hey, send that jet over there and drop that bomb on that supposed terrorist over there. It don't make no sense, folks. And if it did make sense, I wouldn't have to call it mad science. I wouldn't be frustrated about the whole deal. But the thing is, they ain't practicing what they preach. They're taking advantage of people. And for every time something happens, we got to take a little bit more of your freedom away. Why do you got to take my freedom away? Because somebody else is out there acting like a knucklehead. Why don't we all just go out there and get that knucklehead, throw him off in the jailhouse, and, you know, solve it? No, we can't do that, because there's a potential terrorist going to chop off your head. We're going to take your gun rights and your freedom of speech and all that kind of stuff for your safety. Why is it my safety for you to take my freedom away so that you can protect me from that guy over there? I'd be better off taking care of it myself. You a little bit of redneck justice or something. All I'm saying, the representation that we get in this world is nuts. It's just nuts. You know? And so, I don't know. You know, we can continue on down this road to the apocalypse, or we can get our act together and we can actually use what we've already got. You know, the whole repurposing idea, that's kind of like a little bit of a prepping deal. Learn about what you can, learn about why you can, learn about it, because if the folks that are in charge up there have their way with it, we're all going to be riding around in rickshaws while they're all riding around in jet airplanes, big old Lear jets or, you know, whatever. And when the king is telling you not to do it, because we're all going to die if we do, but yet the king's still doing it, that to me is a problem. The emperor has no clothes, man. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and take a quick music break. But I hope you think about what it is I said, because we got potential. We could do so much. And I'm hoping that my YouTube channel will point that out. I'm hoping that this radio show will help to point that out. You know, they could make a light bulb that will last forever. They already do. They call them fluorescent bulbs, but there's other ways, other methods by which you could actually make a light bulb that will last forever. And yet they don't. It's planned obsolescence. There are methods by which you can run your car, your gasoline engine, at the very least, get well over 100 miles to the gallon. It's not science fiction, it's science fact. But people just don't understand the physics of the whole deal. You're sending a jet of gas into an internal combustion engine, and you're wasting the majority of that fuel, and so you have to put in another system, such as a catalytic converter system, to re-burn that fuel so that you have clean exhaust, so that we're not polluting the planet. Why not, instead of only burning a portion of that fuel, burn every single bit of that fuel? Instead of squirting it in there in a jet, why not send it in there in a really super fine mist all the way down to the point where it's literally a vapor, to where you have it measured down to the precise amount that it takes to ignite that fuel and press down that piston which turns the camshaft. You see what I'm saying, folks? If some crazy here mad science guys such as myself can figure this kind of stuff out, and the majority of the average Joe understands it, then you know that the people in the auto industry, the fuel industry, you know they know it as well. And so, until we demand it, until we actually get up and do it ourselves, then we're going to have to sit around and listen to all this craziness in the world. The global warming, the climate change, the polar bears are going to drown. Look, they're polluting our oceans out there with Corexit and all that kind of stuff like that. And then they're turning around and telling us, it's all our fault. Everything's all our fault. What about the corporation that actually caused the oil leak to begin with? What about putting the radioactive doggone facility on top of a fault line or near some place where there could be a tsunami? If you know the dangers ahead of time, and you ain't got a backup plan for a backup plan for a backup plan and so on and so forth until you know 150,000% beyond a shadow of a doubt it is a fail-safe to the best of your ability, then why do it? It drives me nuts, man. If you run up to a fire and you throw on a cup of gasoline onto that fire without understanding what's going to occur, then you're going to be in the burn ward over there because of the flash that's going to occur. You're not going to have eyebrows. Or if you have a mustache, you ain't going to have that anymore. And you're going to look like heck with all the patches of hair missing off of your head. It's going to hurt like heck. So, knowing that people have done it in the past, and it failed, you might want to learn from that. That's all I'm saying. I'm going to take a quick music break, and I'll be back. You're listening to Shaziz Mad Science. Stay tuned. Peace and love, everybody.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Hey, Doc, this is it.
Never mind that.
Why, that's me! Look at me! I'm an old man!
I'm Dr. Emmett Brown. I'm standing here on the parking lot at...
Thank God I still got my hair! October 26th. What on earth is this thing I'm wearing?
Well, this is a radiation suit.
Radiation suit? Of course! Because of all the fallout from the atomic wars! This is truly amazing. A portable television studio. No wonder your president has to be an actor. He's got to look good on television.
Whoa, this is it. This is the part coming up, Doc.
No. This sucker's electrical. But I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
What did I just say?
The flux capacitor stores... This sucker's electrical. But I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
1.21 gigawatts! 1.21 gigawatts! Great Scott! What the hell is a gigawatt? How could I have been so careless? 1.21 gigawatts! Tom, how am I going to generate that kind of power? It can't be done, can it?
But all we need is a little plutonium.
Oh, I'm sure that in 1985, plutonium is available in every corner drugstore, but in 1955, it's a little hard to come by. Marty, I'm sorry, but I'm afraid you're stuck here.
Whoa, Doc, stuck here? I can't be stuck here. I got a wife in 1985. I got a girl.
Is she pretty?
Oh, she's beautiful. She's crazy about me. Look at this. Look what you wrote here, Doc. I mean... That says it all. Doc, my only hope.
Marty, I'm sorry, but the only power source capable of generating 1.21 gigawatts of electricity is a bolt of lightning.
What did you say?
A bolt of lightning. Unfortunately, you never know when or where it's ever going to strike.
We do now.
This is it. This is the answer. It says here that a bolt of lightning is going to strike the clock tower precisely 10:04 p.m. next Saturday night. If we could somehow harness this lightning, channel it into the flux capacitor, it just might work. Next Saturday night, we're sending you back to the future.
crap!
Operator, give me the number for 911.
frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission:
to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Hello everybody, we're back. You're listening to Shazia's Mad Science. I've been joined by my friend Muddy Mudman. He's got his baling wire and his aluminum tape and everything fixed up his microphone. So how you doing there, brother?
Oh, having a ball as usual. How about you?
Oh, pretty good. Been talking about a few different things today, but most generally, the most important thing I guess I wanted from this show today was that The guy out there, the post-apocalyptic inventor, he did a video that showed a whole bunch of different parts that he pulled out of microwave ovens and stuff like that, that he was talking about, some of which he didn't think he could get very good alternative uses out of or whatever. But when we talk about the power grid, like down here in the general vicinity where I'm at, there's the last couple of days there were like 60,000 people without electricity because a microburst took out a power station or whatever. And so, you know, where in the heck is that noise coming from? That must be me. I'll have to check that out real quick. Anyway, so I'm thinking, nope, that ain't me.
Got a noise coming through?
Yeah, it's just the air noise. It'd be all right. We'll deal with it. Anyway, so I'm thinking, you know, for just such an emergency, you know, you might want to know a little bit about how you can make different things to generate electricity. Like, for example, in this last video, I showed I took an old Bueller motor that came out of a Epson printer. And I made a windmill out of it. And, of course, I had to go from a three-blade to a five-blade fan to put on there to get it to turn when I wanted it to turn. But it does generate electricity, you know. It's just a permanent magnet motor, real simple design. Nothing's modified on it. It's just basically mounted on a pole, and there you go. You could use a little bridge rectifier to use it to change the AC to DC current and charge batteries with it. Simple. Real simple. There's all kinds of real cheapo solar panels out there. Those little lawn ones that you get that you plug out there in your yard. You can just stick them anywhere and they'll charge up during the day. And then at night you'll have some walkway lights or whatever. Those little solar panels out of that, even when the batteries go bad on them, you can use those little solar panels, run them in series, and build your pretty nifty little solar panel deal. So
yeah, pretty, you get those 99 cents, you got a solar panel, and you got a NiCad battery, and you got a white LED.
Yeah. And so, you know, therein lies some solar lighting for emergency purposes. One of the things is, you know, you got them plugged in outside, you don't need them, but then maybe the power goes off and you need some lighting in your house. You can go out there and grab up one of those and use it to, you know, keep from stubbing your toe when you're going around in the dark or whatever. You know, it's something.
Yeah, I put those where you got your window that slides up. On top of that, it's like a little ledge.
Yeah.
Just take that heavy diffractor piece off there and just set them all. I used to set like 8 or 9 of them across the window and let the sun shine on them all day. As soon as the sun went down, I had light in the house.
Well, there you go. And even at something doing like that, just for even if not for emergency purposes, you could use it to supplement your lighting. You know, if you did a system like what you just said. And that way, whenever you're at nighttime, you didn't have to turn on the overhead light. Well, you save a few pennies on the lights instead of having to do it, you know, go over and flip the switch on. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Worked great. Not bad for a buck a piece, either. I bought 36 of them the last time I did that.
Yeah, I need to go out and buy some more, replace some of the ones out there in my yard, but I like to put them strategically around the yard doors. There's things that you can trip over in a night in case your flashlight goes bad.
Right.
And I like those string solar lights, too. Those things are pretty cool. If you like it, you can light up a pretty long walkway with those things, you know. And since I live out in the country, you know, it gets pretty dark out here. You don't have all that light pollution that you'd have down in the city with street lights and all that kind of stuff. But once again, now, and going back to the whole survival kind of thing, in the city, 60,000 people being without power, imagine if every neighbor out there had a bunch of these solar lightings kind of just put around here and there. You know, and then you had one little ingenuity person there that said, you know, whenever the power went out, look, we're not obviously going to be able to run our entire house off of these little deals, but, you know, we could combine all these little solar panels into one bank and run the most necessities. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, so
my neighbor behind me had one of those tin sheds.
Yeah.
And I told him, I said, look, I took the diffractor off the end, and the only thing that stuck down below the base was the LED. So he went out, and he got about 40 of the stupid things, and he drilled holes in the roof and a tube of caulking, and he sat there and just stuck the LED through the hole in the roof and then caulked around them and left them all up there. He'd go out into a shed any time at night, not have to worry about having to run a cord or bring a flashlight. He could find what he wanted. It's pretty well lit up in there nicely.
See, and that's the kind of stuff I like, man. You know, Matthew
Lights Drummond, are always on.
Matthew Drummond's out there. He's got a YouTube channel out there, and he does stuff like that as well. You know, just going out and getting recycled kind of stuff and doing some experiments. See, that's what I like, you know.
Yeah, he's
like
one of my subscribers. He's got a real nice channel.
Yeah, he does. And so with that said, you know, there's all kinds of options to, at the very least, supplement your electric, you know. And if you're, you know, if worst case scenario comes around, it's if you got some solar panels, it's better than nothing. If you know how to build a windmill or whatever, then all of that's better than nothing. You know, in a perfect world, we would have already had all this stuff situated. The governments of the world would have made sure that, you know, if they're going to pass a regulation to force you to get your carbon footprint down, then why not have it situated to where it's a plus if you go out and get a solar panel instead of a negative, you know? Like such as if you're off the power grid, they want to charge you to be off the power grid.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's kind of like having an electric car and they want to give you extra road taxes.
Yeah, you're not using gasoline and paying that tax, so you got to make up for it. Really?
Yeah, you got to make up for it because they're not making profit.
How are you gonna make society better by punishing the people because you're the one that told them that the planet was heating up and we got all this chaotic climate change because of carbon emissions, which we both know is a hockahooey. However, you're telling people this, and you're telling them we got to get alternative fuels and alternative renewable clean energy going on, but yet every time they try, you tax them to death.
That's right.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, Obama came up with that deal. Yeah, we'll go ahead and if you buy the solar panels, we'll pay half of it and half the installation. Yeah, they do that, and then now you've got like a $2,000 tax in Florida if you have solar panels.
Well, in my mind, that's nuts. And as far as California and their drought situation, that is that to me is just flat out ridiculous because you're standing next to the ocean and everybody's all like, well, you know, because we're standing next to this water, everybody who says that we could have desalination plants are stupid. But what if you'd have pre-planned well ahead of time? Not only could you open another market in the whole sea salt deal, you know, you could have had plenty of fresh water, you know, start stocking up ahead of time. You would have had more than you need. You'd tell everybody to go out there, hey, water the heck out of your garden. We got too much water. We need to cut back on our storage a little bit, you know.
We had a $400 electric, a $400 water bill.
Oh, man.
Yeah, they said we used 40,000 gallons. But every month prior to it, we used just under or over 1,000 gallons a month. We don't use much water.
Well, how?
Except for like 5 months back, there was another one where it said we used 3,000 gallons. How? And they charged us $300.
How in the heck could you have used even 4,000 gallons, you know?
I know my toilet wasn't running all the time or anything like that. I don't know. Now, the neighbor filled up his pool, so I went out there to the meter and looked and had Sam look down there to see if the little triangle was spinning, you know? And I turned on their faucet that has the hose that they filled the pool with. It didn't turn at all, so it's not some crossed water thing. I don't know what it is. Just I think for some reason they decide, oh, well, I guess it's time to check the meter again. We'll go look at it because we hadn't looked at it in months. And just tack it all on 1 month. I don't think I really don't think it is. I think they've been faking the numbers, so we went out there and we take a picture. We took a picture of the reading and cleared the glass off. I don't know how they could have seen through the glass, but the number was right.
Well, one day I got my light bill in the mail. It was a $1,250 light bill. Man, wow. I guess you could probably know that I went ballistic, all right? So I get on the phone.
Wife did too, huh?
Yeah, so I get on the phone with the power company deal, and I told them because the school up the street had a $700 light bill, and they leave stuff running 24/7, right? And we're going behind and shutting lights off so that we're not using as much electricity. And I told him, I said, look, this is one of two things going to have to occur here. You're either going to have somebody come out here and recheck this meter, and if it says the same thing, you need to have this meter pulled out because something's wrong with it. Because there's no way in heck that I use $1,250 worth of electricity, and the school, which is 10, 20 times larger than my house, I'll only use $750 worth of electricity for the entire month. And so they sent somebody back out there, and it turns out the individual who read the meter read it wrong and added a few extra digits on there. And so, yeah. And so we got that resolved, but it took me 2 months in order to get it resolved because by the time they got their paperwork rearranged, I already had all this different stuff going on here. I had to wait around for the correct bill to come in. Anyway, it was a nuts. It was crazy.
But yeah, well, this is the second time it's happened this year where it cost us, cost us over $60, which is our basic water bill. It's the second time, so we're already, we've had lots and lots of rain, so we're thinking about throwing an extra cistern up here and putting it up to where it's got decent water pressure, and we're going to start using that as much as possible, and if they don't like it, then, we'll just disconnect then.
Well, you know what I would do, and I fully intend on doing, I'm going to go out and get a bunch of food-grade barrels, and I'm going to bury them under the ground, probably anywhere from 10, 15, possibly even 20 of the 50-gallon barrels. And I'm going to bury them underground and make a filtration system where the actual ground itself does just like nature does and build me a huge storage capacity for when it rains out here.
Well, here's where our research has led us to. You go to any meat packing plant or anything that that processes food, they've got to get these big, large containers of 350 gallons water. They're basically water totes that are in the square cage.
Yeah.
That you take pick up with a forklift or so. But they're real light by themselves when they're empty. You just got to wash them out real good, and they're they got to be food safe.
Yeah.
Because, they can't put something down there that can damage food. So, they're food safe. You go by and get those for anywhere from $50 to $75 a piece.
Yeah, and I think that would be a plus, too. But see, if you...
Well, I got three of those, that would equally match my water use.
If you took and had... Yeah, if you had three of those, and you had your rain gutter running down into them and stuff like that...
Running through a sand filter.
Yeah, you could also use it to pump into your toilet. If you flush your toilet and you're flushing a gallon of water or whatever, every time you flush your toilet, then, you know, you could flush it out of that and use the regular water off the mains for drinking or whatever. There's all kinds of ways that you could
supplement. I bet that water coming from the sky don't have that doggone fluoride in it and all them other added chemicals.
Yeah, you're probably better off just shutting the whole doggone system off and going that route. You know.
Right, you run it through a sand filter. The top 2 inches of a sand filter basically has an eco-culture. And what it does is any bad bacteria, the sun hits it, right, and the bad bacteria get weak, and they don't get to put off the toxins because the good bacteria get stronger, and they eat them suckers and the toxins and turn it into vitamins and minerals, everything that you need. And it makes better water than distilled. And then it's got a dead zone, you know, below that, below the 2 inches, because the sunlight doesn't reach down there. And there's nothing happens. It's called a dead zone. A dead zone basically makes sure that nothing lives and nothing can get past it, not even the shells of organisms and stuff like that. It goes down to the bottom. Then you got what you call activated charcoal, which you can make and learn how to make that. You put that down somewhere through there, and then pebbles and then bigger rocks, and your PVC down at the bottom of your barrel has the holes on the bottom. And that comes out the side, and it should come, you bring it up to the water level, or the top of the sand level, and then you put an elbow on it, and you make it come out, and another elbow, and so it looks kind of like a faucet off the top. At that, you can fill as much as you want, and that water that comes out of there is actually very healthy for you. Everything is filtered out.
Well, the activated carbon or charcoal that you're talking about, you can go to Walmart in the pets department and buy the stuff that they use in fish tanks in huge bags.
Right. Know? Or you can make it. Or
well,
you can make it yourself.
For those folks out there who, you know, either for whatever reason don't want to make it or can't make it or whatever, you know, you can buy it in bags, and it's, like, perfect. I mean, if it ain't killing the fish, then it ain't going to kill you. You see what I mean?
Oh, yeah, exactly. And it takes out all sorts of toxins out of the water.
Well, I'm thinking... build you a water filtration system, start collecting up rainwater, and I don't care if they tell you can't collect rainwater, first off, don't even ask.
Oh, man, they say, well, you can't collect rainwater because we own it, and you can't collect the wind because we own it.
Well, you know what I
would do? Well, when are they going to start paying for the damages that it's doing?
Yeah, you know what I would do? I would run my rain gutter right inside my basement window and start filling up tanks.
Right. And if you put one tank up about a little bit above roof level, your gutter level, and you put that up on your roof, you got more than enough pressure for shower.
Yeah.
And everything else because of the height of it. And you can run that up with one of them Rotocola solar Stirling engines. The sun comes out, it starts pumping water up. More than you use in a day.
Well, therein lies a whole bunch of solutions, man. If the apocalypse ever shows up, you know, guys like you and I and different ones out here that are in alternative stuff, they're going to be just fine because we'll make do with junk. The savage.
We'll be fighting over the junk to make new
stuff. I mean, we've been doing it for years, and so, you know, we're repurposing all kinds of stuff. But, you know, the people down in the city, man, they've got a lot of problems going on. But what they don't realize is that, you know, in every single one of their households, they already have hot water heaters in them. You know, there's a good storage place for water right there. As long as when the water is on, you're flushing that thing out every so often to take out the calcium lime. You know, you've got fresh water in there. If you only got a 15-gallon or all the way up to a 40 or 50-gallon or above, then you got a lot of fresh water access to. The tank.
We never run out of hot water here, and the thing is... Jim came by with with his long trailer, and he had a 12-foot by 4-foot solar, commercial solar hot water heater.
Yeah.
He says, "You want this?" I said, "Yeah." And I even showed it on one of my videos. Oh heck yeah, I got that thing out there. I'm fixing to put that thing up, and I'm going to put it up on the roof where it doesn't have much pressure, so it's not going to go bad. I've got that thing out there. I was about to test it out yesterday. I was going to put it on top of that square flat top of my Jeep and hook a hose to it and let the sun hit it. I was thinking about taking a bunch of pallets, probably about 12 pallets, and you just kind of nail them together and make you a shower stall and make you an outside shower. I love an outside shower. I've had one before. One of them thick, 50-dollar hoses that, you know, it's got that, it's almost like that hose that you, that's on your vehicle.
The hose?
Man, you put that out in the sun, I tell you what, that will scald you and burn you. If you sit there and run all the water out of that until it cools down, or you put it into a tank and then it comes out of the tank, it won't get hot all at once and then cold all at once like it does in a hose. You put it in there and it kind of mixes slow. But if you run your water and you run out of hot water, just turn it up. 5 minutes is about the right temperature.
Well, and
with the sun hitting it, and you can control it. And you say, well, you need another 2 minutes if you want it hotter, and then turn it on. Now, I'll tell you what, it can scald you if you wait too long. It takes you too long to soap up.
Also, to add to that system, since you make those blades for your actual flux windmills, then you could also build a one that runs a belt that runs a pump that keeps water continuously circulating when that wind's going. So you can take, it don't matter how big the water tank is, you can heat that up. It may take a little bit longer to heat it up, but you could heat it up using solar because that heat's going to transfer from that hose as it's being circulated into that tank, and so every so often...
Right, circulated into your hot water tank and let it come back out again, right.
So, you know, with these little examples right here, if the governments of the world out there really cared about this so-called climate change thing, which to me, it makes me... I get sick in the back of my neck whenever time I even say it, because I know it's a lie. But if they really cared about this, there are systems already out there like what we're talking about here that, you know, that you can mount them on your roof, a big time giant hose deal. There's one heck of a heat collector up there, you know? That's all energy that could be reused. And with Peltier elements and stuff like that, there's all kinds of methods by which you could just use the thermal alone to heat your water and to run some electric, and there you go, man. You've used what would have normally been a waste to basically use for positive purposes. So you're not running the power grid to heat your water. You're heating it with the sun. And so there goes the carbon footprint gets dropped down. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
And they know this stuff's possible.
Like a solar panel hooked up to just a 12-volt electric pump will do everything you need. Then when the sun goes down and it's not making any more hot water, it stops circulating.
Yeah, but learn something
that leaves the hot water in your tank instead of running it all over the place.
Learn something from an old thermos. Now, back in the old days, my grandfather used to have this old thermos that had like a glass cylinder inside of the doggone thing.
Right, and a vacuum on the outside of the cylinder.
Yeah, and he had his coffee in there all day long and it stayed hot.
Right.
You know? So, with a little bit of insulation, you can really sit there and store that heat for a long periods of times, and so you could make it through the entire night with the properly designed hot water tank, and even wrapping it with...
What if your house was built like that?
Yeah, if your whole house is built that way?
Other than your windows, you know? I mean, gosh, it wouldn't take... Man, you could turn on light bulbs and it'd start getting hot in your house.
Yeah.
Kind of reminds me of that blonde-headed gal there. She said, that thermos is smart. He said, what do you mean? You put cold in it, it stays cold. You put hot in it, it stays hot. How does it know?
Well,
if you could put a vacuum between your outside layer of your wall and the inside layer of your wall and just have standoffs to keep it from bending.
If the entire house...
Good, you wouldn't need nothing. You really wouldn't need nothing to heat and cool your house.
Well, and nature shows that, man. You go out and check out any cave. It stays a continuous 60 degrees around all year round. No matter how cold it is outside or how hot, it stays a continuous 60 degrees. And most people want about 60 degrees because, you know, when they got the air conditioner, 60 degrees to me is cold. Yeah, oh, yeah. I'll have a sweater on.
70 is actually 72 is room temp.
But if you took and built your house from the start to be energy efficient, you wouldn't have to worry about all that, you know?
Right.
Now, if they want to regulate anything, they should regulate on how houses are built from the get-go. That should have the very best insulation factor that you could possibly get so that the house is completely insulated. So therefore, you cut down on fires because you wouldn't have to run your heater near as much because the house is so efficient that you turn it on for about 5 minutes and it's hotter than heck up in there, and so you got to open the window. You know?
I got a doggone evaporative cooling system that uses the wind.
Yeah.
No electricity, no nothing. And everybody knows that heating and cooling is 90% of your electric bill.
Well, I bought a little toy, and I put a video out here recently. I can't remember which one it was. The repurpose,
yeah, I think. Yeah, I remember that. The little small plastic personal air conditioner.
Yeah, and the very first time I ever used that or tried it out was in that video. I mean, it was when I put those batteries in, was the very first time I ever tried it. And I was surprised at how cold that air was coming out of that thing.
Yeah, as long as the air is dry. If it's humid, it ain't working much. But other than that, I mean, if the rate of evaporation is there, you've got something good.
Well, and there's another thing, evaporation. What can we learn from evaporations? Did you know that a dehumidifier in your house pulls water out right directly out of the air?
Yep.
So, if you
sometimes
had
it doesn't taste too good, but it's good.
Well, you could also filter it afterwards, but regardless, if you're
right.
living in a humid climate and you're trying to not be hot and sticky and you need water, why not build an evaporative system, number one? It is probably all going to be in how you build it, why that water would taste cruddy, you know. If you built it using stainless pipe, it's more apt to not have a cruddy taste to it than it would be as if you was using, say, copper pipe. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
But you could build a dehumidifier that would literally fill water up, take water right out of the air, you know?
Yeah.
And
the reason why the water in the dehumidifier basically tastes kind of crummy is basically because you got other things in your air. You got dust collecting on where the water's condensing and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But like I said, after a filter, oh yeah. Pretty good.
Yeah, just run it through a Brita water filter or something like that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But either way, there you go, man. There's ways. I mean, there's one of the survival techniques out in the desert in order to get water is taking a little bit of a piece of plastic in a container and put that plastic over there and let the heat of the sun cool down the air that's inside that container, and it'll start building moisture up there. It's condensation.
Yeah, help it evaporate the existing moisture that's in the ground and all that other stuff and bring it up there, and then when it hits where the wind's hitting the plastic, it cools it off and condenses it and rolls down and collects it in one spot.
So therein lies all the answers that we need, man, as far as fresh water and all that kind of stuff. You could make a desalination system that would literally not take very much energy to use. You could make a solar desalination.
Right.
Essentially, all you need would be the water in a pan underneath the deal, and have a couple multi-stage layers of you got the salt water in the pan. You got a glass over the top of that, right? And when the heat from the sun comes down, it's going to cause that water to evaporate inside the deal, and it's going to go up, and the moisture is going to collect on top of the glass. And after a while, it'll start dripping back down again. And so on the drip back down side of it, you got the water collecting in a deal that's draining it off into a freshwater section. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
And it's that simple.
A lot of people are concerned that that's like distilled water, and because it doesn't have vitamins in it and everything in it, it leaches the vitamins out of your body through osmosis.
Well, then use a system kind of like what you were talking about
vitamins.
To put it back in. You know,
take some vitamins.
Run it through some dirt. Bring it back in. You know, that's what nature does.
If you add some vitamins to your body, guess what? If it starts leaching stuff out, maybe it's taking your toxins out with it, too. Because I'm sure it's not picky. Just get you a good full supplement of vitamins.
Either way, there's a lot of things out there that people think are negatives towards everything, such as static electricity. Static electricity in some industries is bad. In the computer industry, you don't want static electricity because it messes stuff up. So they got little cables that they'll tie to their hand to keep them from building up a static charge and running like microchips and stuff. But static electricity can be stored. Lindmotor showed it in some of his videos. I've showed it in some of mine. And so you turned it into a plus. Moisture content, you know, things drying out or basically building up moisture and the water dripping down and rusting out parts on your whatever, you know. I'll have to add him in there. Yeesh. Anyway, you see what I'm saying? There's a lot of negatives that could be turned into positives if people actually paid attention to what it could be used for, you know what I mean?
Right.
I'm gonna add Justin up in here if I can get a hold of him. He's trying to call me in there. Do 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 do. So that's really good for radio, there, man. All right. Yeah, I think I got him up in there. All right. So anyway, you know, if you're gonna sit around and complain about how we got to get everything under control as far as alternative energy and green energy and renewable energy and still overlook everything that could be potentially, you know, the answer to the problem. California has no reason to complain about water. All right? That's all there is to it, you know. And while they're talking about being in a drought, you see the guys running videos where it's pouring down rain outside. And if they got a situation where they're telling you can't gather up rainwater, then that's kind of counterproductive.
That's illegal water.
Yeah.
While they're selling alcohol.
So, you make you a solar distiller out there, and there you go. You got some fresh water. You do the system right, and see, one of the problems that they've been hollering about as far as desalination is they're worried about running the ocean. You're not going to run the ocean dry, all right? And as long as you're not pumping the fresh water back into the salt water, you're not going to change the salinity of the ocean. As long as you're not taking the sea salt that you extract from the salt water and putting it back in the ocean, you're not going to change the salinity of the ocean.
And you ain't got to worry about that either, because when the salinity starts getting strong, it turns into a foam and washes up. Well, it comes out of the water.
There you go.
I've seen the foam collecting up on the shores and stuff, and especially during the high tide, it comes up and it stays up, you know. Next time it rains, it dissolves and goes back into the water.
Well, this is why I get so doggone frustrated, man. Because nature's got that under control. We got everything we need to do everything we need to do, but yet we have to fight against the idiots of the world. Like the little zit-faced kid out there behind the computer that told me I was a retard because I said, you ever heard of a desalination plant? And when I told him that NASA was stupid because they're sitting there talking about how the Earth is running out of water. And he's like, that's fresh water, retard. And I was like, really? You ever heard of a desalination plant? You know? But then they're talking about...
I'll tell you, that water's no good for you. Well, you're drinking the water that's coming out of the faucet? Yeah, okay, add that to it then.
Well, yeah. Take the doggone... Yeah, there you go. Use the desalinated water to supplement the fluoride and chlorine water that you're getting, man.
Yeah.
It's just...
Or you could add a little bit of that seawater to it. It won't hurt you. It's got all sorts of good stuff in it.
Can there really seriously be that many mentally ill people in this world?
Yeah.
Man, that hurts my head to think about. Seriously. I mean, come on, man. It has to have something to do with the fluoride and the chlorine and the lead paint and all the different brain inhibitors that have been pumped through society, you know. I mean, go to the doggone grocery store. It's a chemistry set, man. If you wanna build a bomb, go to the doggone grocery store and buy some Cheetos and stuff.
Or heck, yeah, if you're looking to make nuclear, doggone, just buy some of the fish.
Yeah, there you go. That's what we need to do. We need to buy some tuna from Japan and see if we can run some light bulbs off of it.
Hey, it'd be all right. It only take like 5 tuna fish cans, light up a 50-watt bulb continuously, year-round. Be sweet.
All I'm saying, well, hey,
I've seen
people take tuna cans of tuna and make oil lamps out of them. All they did was poke a hole in the top, put a wick down in there, turn it upside down for a second long enough to get that wick, some oil on that wick, and light it up. They had a doggone oil lamp.
Burn the oil out, and when it's done taking the oil out, then you don't have to strain it, and you can eat the tuna fish.
Yeah. Multi-purpose, man. If you and I can figure this kind of stuff out, why can't the governments of the world? See, everybody talks about, oh, well, you shouldn't talk about government on your mad science show because people's only interested in alternative energy. Well, it all falls back in the same deal. I keep telling everybody, if you can't find free energy, you're simply not looking hard enough. It's there. It's all over the place. We're floating in the sea of it. I'm using some of Justin's ideas in some of my deals that I'm in some of my upcoming videos, and I know the moment that Justin sees them, he's going to know exactly what I'm talking about.
Have you heard about the TYM motor?
No. What about the TYM?
Tiny yet mighty.
Oh, well, that's cool.
This thing's about I'd say probably about right at about 2 foot wide, maybe 3 foot. Okay, and what it is, it's the cylinder is actually in a donut shape, and it has pistons that move around in it. Kind of like if you had two X's. You turn one X till it touches the other one, then you turn the other X. It goes back and forth. And what it has, it keeps on going around in a circle, but one moves and then the other moves. As the pistons get farther apart, it's over where it draws in the fuel. Okay. Then the other one moves around by the way the flywheel, which compresses it, and when it gets there, it's right at the spark plug. The spark plug goes, then the other one moves. And that almost lines up with the exhaust port. Then they both kind of move, and that second X will move back over, and that's exhausting it out. There are no valves, no cam, no crank, no anything. And all the losses of friction and everything that solves. And the way that it all goes in one direction, and the momentum of one piston stopping, and then the explosion goes, and the other one goes, basically helps it to slow down, so it doesn't need a brake for that other X of pistons to go. And what this thing does, it at that size and that small size, it's taking like an an 800 pound motor out of the vehicle and putting in a 25 pound motor. And it has the same power as your best Formula One racing engines when they're redlined while it's idling. And the coolest thing about it, it is multi-fuel. You can put anything in it, and what runs best with it? Soybean oil. Put the farmers back to work. Get the drills out of the earth. Quit poking holes like mosquitoes and sucking out the light. You know everything that the earth uses as its blood. And
you just hit another
man for the blood money, you know.
You just hit another key that's a thorn in my side about this whole water issue. Is they're out there fracking, they got sinkholes popping up all over the place, and they're kind of wondering why all this kind of stuff's going on. Well, you know, the one time was down in Louisiana. They basically punched through a salt dome and drained the lake down into the mine. And then they're like standing around, what happened? Really?
Back to the question you said before, are there really that many morons?
That's what I'm saying, man. Okay.
And like I say, that's your commercial and corporate deal, which is government, basically, you know, and they say, well, we're going to improve your life and everything. We own all this oil under your land. You can't have mineral rights and all that crap. Well, doggone it, when they yank that stuff out, when are they going to start paying us for the damages they do with it?
Yeah, I was getting ready to say that.
Yeah.
I was getting ready to say that. If you pull either oil or gas out from underneath somebody's property and their house falls down in a hole, and you are not responsible for it because you weren't drilling on their property when it happened. Well, you just took the hydraulics out from underneath their house, and so there's nothing to hold it up, and so it fell down the hole.
And here's the other thing. Yeah, they got to go fracking. They're going to take the natural gas out of the earth by replacing it with water and putting the pressure by the weight of water. Well, that'd be okay as long as it wasn't our drinking water. But no, they take the water that we're supposed to have in our faucets and drink and all that kind of stuff and add multiple caustic, all sorts of goofy chemicals to it, and it goes down there and fills it up. Well, so they drill down, and now they got seals as they pass certain tables that they have to put in. Well, who's going to go down there, you know, a quarter mile down below the ground to inspect the seal?
Yeah.
Well, you figure out how much they really, really try at that. Well, they know that this fracking water with all the doggone chemicals they put in, it gets into our water table. So how is that improving our life and everything on that as well?
Plus,
it helps dissolve some of the layers of minerals and everything that are basically making up the sandstone. And yeah, I wonder why we get earthquakes. And who's going to pay for that?
Yeah, and there's
but
one.
If you get the natural gas, you got to buy it from them, and they tax you on it.
There's,
but the tax
one
do not
other,
pay for the damages of the earthquake.
There's one other dilemma too, man. Okay, that gas is in a pocket, right? It's in a bubble, and you fractured the ground. Fracturing by definition, you put a bunch of cracks in it. All right. So
yeah. So what good is that seal?
Yeah, there you go. And so that's going to bleed off somewhere.
And they're putting chemicals in the water to help seal it after. Okay.
And
so I
want
to drink that water? No.
That's why everybody's out there buying bottled water, man. That's why the blue gold, you know, out there shifting from crude oil to water tables is what everybody's doing, because you'll have all that money in water because there ain't nothing else safe to drink out there. But I'm still saying, even after they crud up every single water table out there, you can still get fresh water. The earth is 3/4 covered in. All you need to know is how to filter that water properly, and you got it made.
Right.
You know?
And it'd stop them from spraying all them extra stupid things in their jet fuels and everything that we don't need down here. Nobody wants it. It doesn't help for the global warming. I'm sorry.
I talked about that just a bit earlier before you came on the show, Muddy, about that whole deal. Now, one hand they're saying, well, you're just a tinfoil hat nutcase for talking about the chemtrails and stuff like that. You know, that kind of stuff. But then you got companies out there, you can Google it. They advertise geoengineering, weather modifications. They say they got a 180-mile range. They can change the weather. Well, if you change the weather over my house, 180 miles away from me, somebody else is weather's changed too. And so,
hey, remember when the Bible said you'll see signs in the heavens and the earth? Well, you look up at the heavens and you see if one plane goes this way, the next plane goes this way, and those chemtrails making big X. Then another one goes this way as the wind moves over this way. And another one goes this way. There's another X. And before line, you look up in the sky and you see, yeah, there's my sign. Triple X. X, X, X.
Yeah.
And then one little cloud goes by in the shape of a skull and you say, yeah.
All right. So laugh in my face and mock me because I say they're spraying crud in the air. All right. That's... They say that they're not doing it, and yet you see it, and they have companies that advertise that they do it, and yet you still see it, but yet you're told it's, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain, all right? The emperor has no clothes. If I see the emperor has no clothes, I'm going to be like pointing and saying, look, brother, you know, you're butt naked right there.
And all those people that say that's a conspiracy theory.
Yeah, he's not naked. You just can't see.
They'll just take their clothes off and get in fashion. Look at these.
Yeah, everybody's naked. Everybody needs to run around naked. That'll save some doggone global warming, you know.
You wonder Wazoo turns red from the sun blistering it.
Yeah, or the genetically modified skeeters that would eat through a plate of armor to get to your neck, you know.
Oh yeah, let me bring up this subject here. A mosquito lands on the water, okay, and they drop their little eggs in there, and they turn to these little larvae that swim around in the water, and then they come to the top, and mama's got to bite you and feed them blood so they can become, you know, adult grown blood suckers. And you know, the cool thing is, rather than dumping that water out, leave the water there. That way they waste all their eggs on that water. And don't go by and dump the water out, because if you didn't get them the first time, there's a cool way. They land on the water and they stay on the top of the water by surface tension. Go get your dish soap. Put a drop of water in the water. The mosquito lands on there, and what happens to him?
They sink.
He sinks and drowns. He's no longer a water thriving organism.
And here's another thing.
Yeah, you can kill all the mosquitoes, and basically when they say, ooh, water, I'm going to go lay some eggs here.
Here's another thing.
It doesn't happen. They just fall to the bottom.
Mosquitoes like CO2, man, and they like heat. And
that's
so,
how they find you, is by the CO2.
And yeah.
They get close to the person, knowing all the elements in your hemoglobin.
Go out there and Google homemade or DIY mosquito trap, and you'll see it is so super simple to use something like any kind of syrup with yeast and make a trap that the mosquitoes are drawn to.
They don't really work. What really works, if you can get a fan and put a screen on the backside.
It's all in how you mix it, though. That's the whole deal. You got to go step by step through the whole process. You first heat up the water, and then you mix it with brown sugar until the brown sugar is all dissolved. And you don't mix the yeast. You just let it set on the top, because that's what starts the fermentation. It releases the CO2. Yeah, so a lot of folks that don't think they work is because they didn't follow step by step through the whole thing. You want that fermentation so that it's releasing CO2, and the reason why you only just drop it on the top is so that it does it slowly instead of, you know, like quickly, because if you mix it in there, it won't last very long. But if you just, yeah, even that, bread would work. But if you just drop it in there on the top where essentially it's floating in there, then it'll last up to 2 weeks for the CO2 to be releasing slowly, because it's slowly ferment. You see what I'm saying?
I guarantee you, for every breath I put out, I can release more CO2 than that jug does all day long.
Well, and there's other ways to do it. There's actually industrial mosquito vacuums that they got out there. But either way, you know, that's the way we can get some of them genetically modified mosquitoes out of the picture.
I believe in vacuums for bug control.
Yeah.
But that, you know, you get a decent fan, you've got that wire, not mesh, but that wire circular spiral on the back. You take a piece of screen and put it on there, turn the fan on.
Put a vacuum on your bug zapper.
They get stuck on it, they cannot leave. And before long, you know, while the sun's hitting them, beating them, they dry out, and they just kind of, you know, they just take the screed. If you take a, you know, just like a quarter cup of alcohol, and then fill the cup up the rest of the way with water, put it in a spray bottle. Every time it starts, that screen starts getting completely coated with the mosquitoes, you just spray them down. Basically kills them, doesn't harm anything. You take it off, shake it all off, and man, you can fill a coffee cup every 2 hours full of mosquitoes.
Yeah, hook a vacuum sweeper up to your bug zapper, man. Suck them right in.
I was thinking about making like a small gazebo or tent out there, and take wires that run one direction and wires that run another direction, and to keep them spaced apart. Take some weed eater line, and basically, as you got it stretched, you stick the weed eater line through there, and tack it with some super glue down, you know, down the whole length of the weed eater line there, and it'd keep them all separately, so you can have a big, big size screen. And then just sit inside that tent, wait, and you know, hook up your little zapper to it, and just wait for them to come. They can't get into the tent without going through that screen. You just sit back and, I guess if you put your back to it, they probably read a book on some nights.
Justin typed in the chat right there, said girls are dumbed down because they all sit in those nail shops huffing paint.
Yeah, huffing paints.
Well, come on, man. This is common sense, you know.
You just got a lot of women pissed off at you. You know that.
Yeah, I know.
if you get a package in the mail that's going tick tick.
I'll call
me about it.
I'll ship it over to you, man. Hey, can you open this package? No. Anyway, I don't know why he said it, but he did. And I repeated it like a fool. But
yeah, both better watch out for them packages.
All I'm saying is this, man. Look, I said earlier that I get to the point where I've noticed this, but I've listened to some of my podcasts here recently. There's one that's up on the Auto DJ, and I noticed that I stutter a lot. And that's because my brain is running 10 million miles an hour trying to cope with all the ignorance that's going on out there in the world. And I'm trying to, like, yeah, I'm running around like Chicken Little with my head cut off trying to holler, you know, the sky isn't falling. The sky isn't falling. Look over there, man. There's some water over there and so on and so forth. But these people out there, I'll tell you, first off, don't ever talk bad about NASA because NASA's got some groupies, man. All right? If you ask any tough questions, such as, okay, wait a second, in 1969 they traveled through the Van Allen radiation belt to get to the moon, and they did all right. But here, back in the 20-something, 2008 or whatever, there was a documentary put out that said that one of the things they had to overcome before they could actually travel past this Van Allen radiation belt would be to protect them from the radiation. And so when you ask
and
them...
And they can't transport that much lead enough to shield them.
Yeah. When you pose that question after that was said by one of their people, you got to... The groupies come running up out the woodworks like a whole bunch of roaches on a cube of sugar, and they're all over you, man. And they're like, well, you're an idiot. You don't know what you're talking about. And I'm saying, well, wait a second here, mister. In 1969, they had some really good battery technology because they not only was able to run an air conditioner, a heater, oxygen, and communications all in this nifty little suit that kept them from either freezing in the dark or burning up in the sunlight. So I just asked them what kind of batteries they were using so I can get me some. You know, and if they went through the Van Allen radiation belt, I'd like to know what they used, what kind of materials they used to deflect off the bad radiation. It'd be handy in my research in case I'm messing around with.
Must have had that whole suit lined with lead acid batteries.
Yeah, and if you're going to go to Mars, take a better camera with you. That's all I'm asking. You're going to spend all that money to go to Mars, and you're going to take a lousy camera? All right, take 6 months to get to Mars. Take my iPhone and send it on over there to Mars and have it send some pictures and then, you know, send them back. I'll pay the bill, the light bill, or the phone bill anyway. Whatever. All I'm saying is this. You look at pictures of the Atacama Desert, and you look at pictures of Mars. Now, Mars is like a really nice shade of red, all right? But if you could take that same picture from Mars into the paintbrush program and you mess around with the hue and the saturation and all that, you start seeing the sky, and it starts to look pretty much just like the Atacama Desert. And I'm asked to ask myself for a second, wait a second, they did say they found a jelly donut on Mars. Then they turn around and say it's a rock.
And a saguaro cactus. Yeah, the ones that look like gunfighters in the...
Don't call me stupid because I'm asking questions. Alright? That's what I'm saying. If you're going to go all the way to Mars and you're going to take a crummy camera with you, I mean, if I was going to spend that kind of money to go to Mars, I would want to make sure that I had the best camera on the market. You know?
A GoPro, huh?
Yeah, GoPro, man. Take a picture on the way there, take a picture on the way back. It was posing the questions. And like I said, man, you got to watch out for them NASA groupies. You know, NASA stands for No Actual Science Association.
Yeah, man, I mean, heck, put a laptop up there and let's put the camera on Skype. We can all see it.
Yeah. And there's a conspiracy about whether or not there's doggone structures on Mars. Well, okay, you're sending this all the way to Mars. You're trying to convince everybody anyway that we evolved from monkeys, and so which tells me you don't believe that there's a God. Well, that's okay if that's what you believe, but why would you even want to suppress the fact that there could have potentially been life on Mars if there was or wasn't? I mean, just show the whole picture and stop blotting things out. You know?
Well, they teach us fairy tales in school. What do monkeys have between their legs? A tail.
Well, I'm not a monkey, and my descendants aren't monkeys.
Well, that's why they tell us fairy tales.
So, all I can say is this, man. If you're going to preach evolution, you're going to send somebody to Mars, and then you're going to try to hide the fact that you may or may not have found some sort of past civilization that probably would have blown themselves up blew their atmosphere completely off. See, they're talking about terraforming Mars. They're talking about going out there, sending genetically modified plants and organisms to Mars to terraform Mars. All right, well, that just doesn't seem like that good of an idea. Because what happens if, doesn't any of these NASA individuals watch any of them Eat Your Face Off movies? All right? Haven't you seen Mars Attacks? I mean, when they come down here, if the Martians come down here and they say, ack, 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 which loosely translated via the machine in the movie said, we come in peace, and then they start shooting at you. Alright, there's a problem there. So if you're going to send all these organisms to Mars ahead of time and watch it from a distance to see whether or not it terraforms or whatever, now you look over there, you got these nasty looking eat your face off monsters on Mars because you just created Frankenstein's equivalents, but worse.
Or the Martians actually saw our movie.
Yeah!
Yeah, gee, that's going to help us get on there, right? So, yeah, and here's one more common sense point. If they're tired of conspiracy theory and they're claiming, oh, well, we need to shut these people up, wouldn't it have been better if they just didn't start blocking certain things? Then we could say, okay, well, there's nothing for the conspiracy theory because there's nothing blocked out.
Yeah, secrecy
breeds... You want believers? Stop sitting there blocking out stuff, right?
Secrecy breeds questions. All right.
That's right.
If you gotta hide it, I did this one time, long time ago. It was funnier than heck. I had absolutely nothing in my hand. All right. And when I saw my wife come walking by, I shoved my hand underneath the pillow really quick, and she says, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm hiding nothing." Right. And she's like, "Oh yeah, you're hiding something." I said, "No, I'm hiding nothing. Absolutely nothing all. I'm hiding, right?" Well, the more I kept on hiding that, the more suspicious I looked, and eventually she's trying like heck to get underneath that pillow to see what it is that I got in my hand.
And then when she finally gets your hand open, then she searches under the pillow, right?
Yeah, and I got an empty hand. I told you I was hiding nothing.
You really want to have fun, man. You sit there, and as soon as she walks in the room, you look at your partner and you say, "Don't tell her."
Yeah.
And then you whisper in the ear, "Hey, watch this. She's going to go furious, man. Don't tell her." And then you're both looking at her, and your party that you just whispered in the ear is like, "Oh, no, I'm in trouble." So he's got the guilty look already, and all you got to do is look guilty. "We didn't say nothing." You'll get it. Doggone, you'll drive them nuts.
Oh, yeah. People always want to know what you don't want to tell them.
The bad thing is when you tell, the more you tell the truth, the more they disbelieve you at that point. And it just avalanches. It escalates. It gets pretty bad. You should, no, we weren't saying nothing. I don't matter to both of you. You won't tell me. Well, we didn't say anything because you didn't have a subject to begin with that you told your partner, you know, hey, watch this. No, we just basically would, you know, figured if we went blah, 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 you'd sit there and go nuts.
Well, the funny thing about it is...
Oh, it's hilarious.
The funny thing about it is that scenario that you're talking about, and that's exactly what the news media and them all doing, and whether they're doing it intentionally or unintentionally, if you don't want a conspiracy, then don't hide things. They talk about transparency, right? Well, they're passing...
Hiding things is a lot worse on you than...
They're passing laws without ever even reading them, and they're making people go behind closed doors to look at things before they read them, and they're telling them they can't say anything about it after that. And so when the average Joe hears it, it's like, wait a second. If you got to do this in secrecy, then something ain't right. And
right.
So if you say anything about it, you're suddenly a conspiracy nut. Well, you didn't want to start it because you didn't want to try to hide everything. And that's the same thing that goes on in the alternative energy world. There's all kinds of technologies out there that are available, already readily available, but yet they don't talk about them. You know, they tried to make like Tesla was an idiot and, just a mad science lunatic, and yet we're using his technology right now. You know? And it aggravates the crud out of me. I mean, he's responsible for the AC current that runs through our house. He's responsible for our cell phones and all that. And guys like Marconi and all them other people from the past. They did some amazing stuff, man. And even Edison's DC, even though Edison was kind of on the whack side because of some of the monkey business he did, you know. Either way,
hey,
you know.
Here's one I pulled. I went to the bar. And every time the barmaid went by, I'd sit there and watch, look, you know, just stare right directly at her butt. And then look like you ain't looking. And he said, "You looking at my butt?" I said, I didn't see no brown spot. You'll have her go into the bathroom to check 2 or 3 times, and before long, you'll get thrown out.
Huh. Oh, see, well, that's kind of messing with people's mind, man. I'm just saying, you know, look, the government out there got to get their act together. We're on the verge of World War III as far as all the alternative media and even the mainstream media. They're showing everybody out there saber-rattling. And they're talking about all this climate change legislation that needs to be passed in order to save the planet and so on and so forth. And yet here we are, the folks with common sense, are sitting here telling them, you already got what you need, why ain't you doing it? All right, if you got all these power lines dangling from the poles and tree branches hanging over the top of them, and it's a ragtag deal that any time an electromagnetic pulse from the sun could literally short out everything, and you know that there's a potential that it could fail. You use it as long as you have to use it, but in the meantime, you're trying to upgrade it the best you can. And there's tons and tons of methods by which you could upgrade the power grid and not have all that crud out there. You see what I'm saying?
Exactly.
But that ain't the way that things work, all right? And you know, Justin's typing in some stuff in there about debating about AC current, but either way, it's neither here nor there. Whatever terminology I'm using, whatever terminology he's using, we've got to get down to the brass tacks of everything, to what's actually going on. Because if you go through any school out there, they're going to teach you a set laws of electrical, a set laws for electronics, a set laws of physics, and so on and so forth. They're going to tell you this is your limitation. You can't go any further past that. And if you do happen to find some anomaly, they're going to want to shove it underneath the table so that nobody knows about it. You know, I want to know about it. I want to know why that one time out of the 9 times out of 10 that they did something definitely was going on there. I want to know why. You see what I mean? That's how you make advancements. You can't make advancements whenever you're being indoctrinated in school. I mean, okay, a guy's got trillions and trillions of barrels of oil on his property, and probably potentially underneath your property as well, and he's going to drain it down until it's completely dry and your house falls through the dirt as well. But, you know, he's going to want to sell that oil as long as he can. He ain't going to want you to tell everybody that energy's free. You see what I mean? And so it's real easy to debunk the whole free energy myth because everybody's still paying a light bill.
That's right. Even in Sweetwater, Texas, where they put in the biggest doggone wind farm in history, and they tell everybody, well, it's supposed to make your electricity cheap. Well, how come the electricity is more expensive there than it is here?
How come whenever I went out by one of those huge wind farms, at least 56% of all those windmills weren't even turning? Why did they shut them down? If you are trying to get all the free energy you can, why shut down the majority of the windmills? Could it have potentially been you were generating too much power?
That's right.
Most of the ones in, when you go by Sweetwater, all the way from Abilene, all the way on out to, you go out west, all the way out there, you know, to where they start the oil fields and everything again, in Odessa and stuff like that. Man, it's just covered. I mean, the horizon, both sides of the road, as far as you can see, just covered with them, and they're all turning, except, you know, just a few. And the thing is, that power, does it go to Sweetwater? Does it go to Abilene? Does it go to the other towns in Roscoe and Lorain, by gosh, Texas? No. It goes all the way down there to San Angelo, San Antonio, and Galveston, and they use it down there.
Well,
and their electricity is cheaper than the electricity on which the land that you put it. And the farmers are getting mad. So even if it's a lie or not, the farmers sit there and say, well, it's hurting our crops. They don't get the wind on them as much. It slowed the wind down. Our crops don't have stronger stalks, and it's hurting our production. So they tried to sue the companies on that, and they couldn't. They could. Only one was successful.
It ain't slowing the wind down, though. I don't care whether you put a 1,000-mile brick wall up in front. That wind will find its way around, and if it's cold outside, will freeze your nose and your ears just like it would if you were standing on the other side of that wall.
Yeah.
Nature's in control. Nature always finds its level. And so with that said, all those folks out there says, well, you're going to start tornadoes if you got all these wind farms. Are you kidding me, man? Come on.
Yeah,
you know how big of a campfire you'd have to make and how big of a cooling system you'd have to make to cause a vortex for a tornado? Really?
If they created tornadoes, there wouldn't be any doggone wind turbines.
Yeah, and if we had the capability of creating the tornadoes that we could contain, man, just think of all that generation power, man, because a 300-mile-an-hour wind to turn some turbines now.
If they were worried about the power and all that kind of stuff, they'd just say, okay, let's make more tornadoes, and we'll shoot a wire up in a 45-degree direction from east to west, and as the tornado comes across, we'll short it out, and we'll store that energy.
Yeah.
But you can stop a tornado dead in its track by doing that.
Well, and see, like I'm saying, man, look how many...
Drain the energy right out of it.
Look how many lightning bolts are going on around town, you know, during a thunderstorm, man. We're talking past the 1.21 gigawatts, you know.
You know, we got more ozone now than we did in 72.
Oh, I'm sure we do. I mean, there's all kinds of things.
That's because of lightning bolts.
Yeah.
More lightning.
But that's the thing. NASA comes out there and says, oh, look, we've got a hole in the ozone layer. Oh, that's terrible. Change your hairspray. Change your doggone Freon in your deal there. Right? And we got to get rid of carbon dioxide because there's a polar bear over there swimming. He's going to drown. All right, look, I'm going to tell you what. We need to get all the liberals of this world, and we need to supply them with life preservers and have them go over there and put a life jacket on every single polar bear out there. All right?
Yeah.
Physically walk up to the polar bear and put a life jacket on them, and put a life jacket on the cubs and everything, because we want to make sure that they don't sink. All right? when that doggone polar bear chews your face off. And I hope you'll understand the difference between common sense and lack thereof. I mean, that, come on, man. We got to get our act together. We got everything we need for alternative energy, clean energy, but there are panels. These folks get paid really well. They sit on these panels and they talk about what we're going to do for the UN climate change deal. All right? They're going to try to take away your rights. They're going to put you on bicycles. They're going to put you in stacked mud huts. So there'll be like a 120-story mud hut that y'all be living in. And they're going to still live in their mansions because, hey, we got to be comfortable. We're the government. We have to have continuity government. We can't have our mud hut collapsing on us while we're trying to run the government, right? So you ain't going to have no windmills in your yard because your homeowners association is going to say it's whacking the birds. You ain't going to have no solar panels in your yard because the homeowners association is going to say they're an eyesore, even though you're living in a mud hut. You're not going to have any rainwater collections in there ever because we don't own the copyright or the patent or the mineral rights to that rainwater, so we got to, you know, not do that so we don't get sued and lose our mud hut. Every single one of you, if you have a 65 children that need to go to school, you're going to have to build a 65-passenger rickshaw that somebody's going to have to be strong enough to pull to get them kids to school, rain, sleet, or snow.
26-passenger. I want to see the guy that pulls that.
Yeah, I do too, man. But here's the thing. If he's going to be eating soybeans and rice cakes because we can't eat cattle anymore because, you know, if you raise cattle, that's going to add to the global warming because you can now have methane and that going on, you know.
Excess carbon dioxide.
Yeah, excess carbon dioxide. You're going to have to eat rice cakes and soybeans.
That means we're going to have to kill all the compost piles and we won't have fertilizer either.
Well, I'm saying it about every other week. That man that pulls the 65-passenger rickshaw to take the kids to and from, you know, the bus driver or the bus puller or whatever you're going to call him then.
Well, they're going to tax him anyway because he's breathing hard.
Well, he's already going to be taxed because trying to carry around 65-passenger bus full of kids jumping up and down on his back, his spine, and the soybean breakfast that he had with the rice cake snack afterwards. And I don't know what you're going to drink because water is going to be too expensive by this time.
All right.
You probably have to, you know, give him some, you ain't going to give him no soda because it's got carbon dioxide in it. You're going to have to give him some syrup to drink. All right?
Yeah. To replenish his sugars, yeah.
And what I'm saying right now sounds so crazy, out the wall, whacked out, bizarre, ludicrous, ignorant, or whatever, then it's only because that's exactly what they're talking about. You know, the only other alternative is there are almost 8 or 9 billion people on the planet, and we got to get rid of them all down to 500 billion people or something like, or 500 million people or whatever the last number on the Georgia, what is the number on the Georgia Guidestones?
500,000.
500,000.
I'm sorry, yeah, 500 million.
500 million from 8 billion. That means a lot of people got to croak out. All right. So, are the elite going to be the first in line? A long time ago, there was this video out there called Logan's Run, and then everybody had this little crystal in the palm of their hand that, when they turned like 29 years old or something like that, the next
they
year
they had to report to the disintegration chamber.
Yeah. And they all get on this carousel, they spin around the circle, and these lasers blast them, all right, and they kill them. So nobody lives past 29 years old. Because at 30 years old, you're a hindrance to society.
A croaker.
Yeah. And so that's what kind of world they're talking about. We got to maintain the population. Somebody got to go. And does anybody out there begrudge me for calling my show Mad Science after hearing all that?
I think China's got it figured out, because they really did get overpopulated. And their idea was every woman can only have two childs. After that, time to be spayed and neutered and all that kind of stuff. So,
yeah,
and,
but
if one of your children dies, and one of your children dies, then we just decrease the population.
Ugh. The whole thing gives me a headache.
But it does make sense mathematically. You can have poison people and ruin their quality of life, but their whole idea isn't about the population. Their whole idea is that there's $1,000 and there's 1,000 people, then everybody only has a dollar. If there were only 10 people, then everybody would have $100. And they want to be the last 10 people. That's what it's all about. That's why they put out these advertisements, sell your gold, sell your junk gold. Come on, gold is not junk, no matter what shape or form it is. Sell your junk gold, and you can trust us to be, because we're backed by the government.
There's a Metallica song. There's a Metallica song out there called King Nothing, and King Nothing to me represents that if you blow up the entire planet and you become king, well, then what are you king of? This huge wasteland, you're King Nothing, But, look, I don't know what's wrong with the people up there at the top. They got problems, all right? But I also am more concerned about the people at the bottom, because they're allowing the people at the top, knowing that they got problems. And
we're supporting them.
Yeah, and we're allowing them to dumb our kids down in school and not teach them real science, not teach them critical thinking, tell them about the boogeyman's going to get them, tell them about the doggone... We all came from monkeys or whatever, Hey, if we come from monkeys, explain to me a few things, and then, we'll work it out from there. But doggone it, man. My brain hurts.
Kind of brings you down to the Humane Society. If we're all monkeys, we at least have the rights of... what the Humane Society says animals have.
Well, look, if we came from monkeys, then that means monkeys are our brothers and our cousins, and they need all the same rights that we've got, so they have the right to keep and bear arms. They have the right to get them, all the luxuries that we've got, and heck, give them a driver's license, man.
What, the monkeys?
Yeah!
Yeah.
You want to depopulate the planet, give a bunch of monkeys a driver's license and a gun.
Planet of the Apes.
Oh, man. Am I the only person in this world that sees that? the nuts? It's nuts. It's flat out nuts. NASA, y'all got problems, man. You talk about the earth is running out of water and the planet's heating up and we're all going to die. And all you turkeys out there genetically modifying stuff, whenever you got one of them things come back to bite you in the neck, then don't complain to us. You're the one that made it. And as far as, the governments of this world, it'd take me more than a 2 or 3 hour show to tell you what I think. Look, this is nuts.
You talk about monkeys and insanity, and you wonder if the people out here are as crazy as they seem, and do we really have as many idiots out here as it seems? And I said, yes. What did we hear in the news about the Clintons and all these people and the child pedophile and pornography and the child enslavement crap? And who was in the middle of it? Oh, that's the same one that's running for presidency, isn't it?
Yeah.
And who was the one that we made fun of and all that? That was Bush. Oh, that's running for president, too.
Well, have you ever noticed that it's always the same crew that are out there and the same people, politicians? Somebody made me hip the other day. There's some sort of website out there that will tell you how long all these people have actually been in office, 20, 30, 40 years and such. And
well, who's the first person in prison to get killed anyway?
I don't know.
Let somebody run for president.
I don't know, but I'll tell you one thing's for sure, man. We don't need no United Nations. These guys are out there shipping us off to trying to sell our country out over here. And these guys, first off, global warming to them's like a religion, and everybody's trying to get away from religion, but they're running towards the doggone UN, and the UN wants to tell everybody you got to live in clean, energy, sustainable houses while they're still out there with their UN
troops. Not only that, they want to make their own central religion for everybody.
Well, I ain't buying it. I ain't buying what they're slinging, man.
I didn't buy nothing they're swinging, because everything they're swinging is a bunch of hoo-hockey.
Yeah. Look, if you're worried about the water system, then clean it up. If you know that there's a problem coming down the line where you might need some fresh water, then make you some storage tanks. And if your government's telling you you can't collect rainwater that was dropped down to you by the Creator, then don't ask for permission next time. Just do it. Like I said, hey, I'll poke a hole in my roof and catch it in a bucket inside. If I get thirsty, I'll filter that up.
Here's the plan, dude. You get this little deal. When the water droplet hits across two little terminals, it activates a switch that says it's raining, and it puts out this chute that runs it over into your water storage tank. And in the house, you got a dehumidifier that's very, very low wattage. It might make a whole cup of water a day. So when they come by and say, well, you can't store rainwater, do you see a gutter from my gutter over to this? No, it all comes from my dehumidifier.
Well, I'll tell you what, man, as crazy as it's all sounding, the way that it's coming down right now, it's going to be illegal to think. And if you go outside and stand in the rain, you're going to have a bunch of jackbooted thugs running over with a towel to mop you up and make sure that they get all that water back off of you so they can take it down to the corporations and wring it back out into their bucket.
Yeah.
That's how stupid this is getting. Man, don't tell me about clean, free energy that we got to find this when we already got it. And don't tell me I can't collect rainwater when you're telling me there's a drought and I'm going to die of thirst. And I got my property value is going to go down to dirt because now I live in Dust Bowl, whatever. You know? This is all about caring for the people. And there's another thing. You said something about earlier when we were talking about the doggone depopulation plans. They got all these regulations what you can or can't do, such as, you know, like marijuana. It's illegal. All right, well, if, you know, some folks out there want to toke on the old wacky tobacco, toke it up, man. That's on you. All right? But they're going to throw people in jail for that, which is going to cost them more money to keep those people in jail. And if you want to kill them anyway, I mean, why tell the skydiver not to go out there and jump off that bridge? Just let him do it. I mean, if that's what he wants to do.
If you're worried about our brains and drain damage, then why are they putting stuff in our food to make us dumb?
Well, that's the thing. If the government does,
I don't
think they're worried
about mental health.
All I'm saying is I don't advocate drug use or alcohol use or anything like that, but it's a do as I say and don't do as I do kind of mentality in the representation of the world, and it's nuts. Because the common sense ain't there. Tell me you care about the children while you're dropping a drone bomb over on some foreign deal to get some sort of terrorist. Telling everybody that there's a terrorist behind every bush and this and that, and then we got to do this because we're all going to die or whatever. Seriously, if we got this terrorist thing going on, and we're a potential under danger, then why you got the border wide open? You know, why aren't you down there with the military securing the border? Anything, just point it out. Anything that the government does, every time they get the doggone grubby paws on anything, they mess it up. You know, don't have a solar panel out there, but reduce your carbon footprint. Don't have a wind turbine out there, but reduce your carbon footprint. Don't run your car on water, but reduce your carbon footprint. Don't run your car on wood gas because it's producing more carbon. Don't do it. Don't use all the alternative energy techniques that we already know about. because you got to reduce your carbon footprint, but you can't do that. You see what I'm saying?
Yep. Don't fall for the bait. That's what I say.
Yeah.
Don't fall for the bait. They're going to give you money to help you install this, and they help you and give you this off your taxes and all that kind of crap. Well, as soon as you do, you get taxed on it, and you get taxed more than you're going to receive off the stupid thing to begin with. The other half of the cost you went and paid for on your own, thinking that you were going to get ahead, but you can't, because you, by the time it wears out, you'd be in the hole farther than you were if you'd bought it for double.
Well, look, I don't care whether people out there believe in God or not believe in God, but Paul Harvey said it best when he explained what's going on out there in that clip, If I Were the Devil. And
exactly.
If you don't believe in God and you want to sit around and complain about morality, why society is the way that society is, and then you want to take God out of everything, look, if you got 700 Christians in a school and they're following their own morality, which is according to the Bible, and then you got other ones who are atheists, as long as the Christians ain't harming the atheists, why don't you just leave that alone? Because 70% of morality is better than the other side, who don't think there's any consequence to anything. So if it ain't causing a problem, say it having God in school, then why tell everybody that they can't have God in nothing? Alright, see, there's a world that this whole, everyone's a racist, everyone's a terrorist, everyone's a potential hazard. We got to have metal detectors at our kids' schools. We got to have cameras watching our kids' every moves. We got to forcefully vaccinate any child who wants an education. We got to do all this kind of crazy stuff for your best interest. But when that kid takes the vaccination and ends up with autism or even worse, crippled for life, like it's happened in many cases, then, oh, well, that's just one of the random unfortunate incidents. Well, it wasn't that random for that individual, all right? It wasn't that random for that family. It was a terrible thing that happened.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? There is the hypocrisy, the ludicrousy of the entire deal. That's why I call it mad science, man, because it aggravates me.
It ain't nothing changed, and I mean, it says that, too. You know, it ain't nothing under the sun new to man. It's all been here, you know. And this, you know, we look at all this crazy stuff about diseases and vaccines. Oh my goodness, what happened? You know, oh, nothing like this has happened before. Well, what about the polio vaccine? The rate of polio increased after they gave the vaccine because people that didn't have polio got polio. There even one gal in the dog that made it to the Olympics after having polio, because once you lose something, you find the real value of it. And basically, all in all, to look at it and put it straight out, you said people ought to have responsibility for what they have patents on. Well, you can only hope that when somebody has a patent on something and it does damage, that you can get your money back out of it. Now, I hope that person has the money. Hello, Bill Gates.
Well, because...
He owns the patent on Ebola, doesn't he?
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. He's the one that told everybody that we could reduce the population with vaccines.
We had the free vaccine. Oh, my goodness. Here we go. Incentives again.
All
free
I'm
vaccine
saying.
For Ebola. So you take it. What? And basically, you didn't hear much about the people that took the vaccine that got Ebola, the one they didn't have it from before.
Well, that's a flu shot, man.
What does this suggest to you in common sense, brother? What does it suggest? The polio vaccine, and if you survive it, well, then they have the vaccine because they found somebody that can survive it. So yeah, that you're just a lab rat. They inject it into this. They tell you it's free and make sure you won't get it, so you get it. And then if you don't get it, we'll say, we'll see.
So the poor folks that did get it, those are just collateral damage, man. So if the government says it's okay, then it's okay.
$500 million thing. Yeah.
I tell you, man. And if you think the government don't experiment on you, you got another thing coming. They've been doing it for years, man. If you think the weather modification isn't real, then go out there and look what they did over in Vietnam to try to keep the Ho Chi Minh Trail all soggy so that they couldn't move around their supplies and stuff. Go talk to some of the old crop dusters who used to spray silver iodide up in clouds to get to rain and stuff like that. Go out there and Google up weather modifications and find out whether or not there's actually companies out there advertising that they do so. And when the weather's crummy over in yours, look at your neighbors and see how their weather's going. If they're getting a lot of rain where they didn't used to get a lot of rain and you're in a drought, then there might be something going on there. Or if they got crazy tornadoes going on your side while they're over there doing something crazy on that side, then there might be something going on there. If the government's trying to tax you to breathe, they're trying to tax you for the sunlight, they're trying to tax you for the wind, they're trying to tax you for the water, and somebody out there shifting from crude oil to water tables, then there might be something going on there. You can't sell drugs if ain't nobody sick. You can't sell guns, bullets, and ammunitions and war machines if ain't nobody fighting. And you can't sell anything unless there's something going on.
Right.
So, control the food, control the mind, control the water, control all the resources, and you are the wealthiest person in the world, and that's that. You can't sell fuel if somebody has free energy. That's the whole deal. That's as simple as that, man. And it's sickening. Because here we are in the year 2015, we should be so much further advanced than what we are, and we got people running around in this world that don't have food, that don't have water, that don't have shelter, and yet the UN, I'm going to touch your heart, and we're all going to become one, and this and that, and we're going to save the world, and save the children, and we're going to save the planet, and live in harmony with Mother Earth, and all this kind of stuff. There are still children starving. There are still children in war zones. There are still wars going on. There's still sickness going on. They haven't resolved anything at all. Zero. Zilch. Nada.
If they could, they would have already.
That's
or if
right.
They wanted to.
We got to depopulate the planet. That's out of their own Agenda 21.
Yeah, well, we're going to wipe out cancer. We'll give everybody cancer, and ones that can survive it will be living, and there will be no more cancer. Sounds great.
Yeah, what a plan. The one
and it all works together for the good, and it works on its own. Yeah. What an amazing, gosh, give that person a raise.
That's right, man. Give everybody a blue helmet. My God, man. I mean, this is just insanity, and
that's like calling scissors a stain remover.
Yeah,
there's no trace.
Cut out the hole right there, and around that dirt. You know, the mustard stain, just cut around it.
Yep, stain right. Is gone, 100%, no trace.
Now that big old burly plumber guy running around with a hairy nipple sticking out of his shirt, at least don't have mustard stain on it anymore.
You ain't right.
Well, come on, man.
I love you, bro.
Love you too, man. It drives me insane. I'm going bonkers. That's why I found myself stuttering in my podcast, because it's just like how can you take it?
Is that because your heart rate went up and your adrenaline's going, and you can't keep from stuttering?
I'm trying to keep.
At least you mean what you say.
Yeah, I'm trying to keep my blood pressure down. I'm trying to keep the steam from coming out of my ears and the smoke from coming off the top of my head, because I'm like, oh, what are you talking about? The earth is running out of water? Seriously?
I keep telling people you did not blow hair. You did not blow dry your hair that way.
No, that's the way. That's from all the stress, man. The mad science stress.
That's called steam curling, man.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Come over to my house, I'll make you so mad that you won't even be able to see straight, and I guarantee your hair will look just like mine.
Yep, you'll have an Einstein hairdo.
Yeah, and I'll call you brother, my brother from another mother. Well, all I can say is, man, look, we got all the answers, and it's going to be up to we, the people, to do what we need to be done, because if you're going to rely on NASA, they was talking about how NASA was got this program together to save us from asteroids from space. Are you kidding me? All right, now I want to see NASA out there with a wiffle ball bat swinging it in the air wildly saying, I got it, I got it, I got it, right? Because that's all they got. You know? And watch every single movie out there, apocalyptic asteroid movie, the military comes in here with brute force and wants to blow it up and turns one rock into thousands of rocks. And NASA sends somebody out there to do something, but... you know, it always takes some mad science guy that they tried to throw in jail for trying to speak his mind to come in here and rescue and save the day, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But if it was up to the governments of the world, if you trust your safety and your sanity on the government, then you're one of those crazies. Sorry.
I remember that shot when... on Armageddon where they overshot the landing site.
Yeah.
And the craziest looking one with the buck teeth sticking out and everything, he said, well, we overshot it by 2.4 blah 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 clicks, and it and the astronaut looked over, he said, how do you know that? He said, because I'm a freaking genius, moron. Yeah. It was his buck teeth sticking out, and I said, oh man, I rolled on that statement.
Yeah, and so what did they have to do?
And he couldn't figure it out. Yeah.
What did they have to do?
The goofy guy had it right.
They had to get out of the ship and walk the other couple miles.
Because I'm a freaking genius, you moron.
Yep.
He's just a driller. You know? Yeah, man.
Well, like I said, I agree with him. It drives me bonkers, man.
Just because they run the government don't mean they're smart. Let's put it that way.
Yep. And if they had your best interest...
knows how to cure all our problems, right?
If they had your best interest at heart, they wouldn't be allowing the EPA to pass drugs that aren't proven 150,000% beyond a shadow of a doubt safe. I mean, for Pete's sake, they put saccharin in your food. They put aspartame in your food. And then later on down the line, oh, oops, sorry, well, we can't use that. But guess what? The same companies that put the aspartame and the saccharin in your food were next in line with the next genetically modified sweetener that they're going to throw into your diet Pepsi that's going to send you to the hospital with heart attack-like symptoms.
Sulfuric acid with an extra carbon.
Yeah. Hey, drink this, and if you don't turn green and glow in the dark, or you don't end up with a third eye in the morning, let me know so that I can sell some more of it to your neighbors.
Hmm.
That's the way it works, man.
The way it works.
Anyway.
Cross my heart and hope to die laughing. I'm 100% with you.
All right, well, we're going to wrap this thing up here, and... everybody out there, you've been listening to the Mad Science Show. I'd just like to say peace and love to you all. Stay tuned. The podcast will be up soon. Thanks a lot, buddy. Thanks, Justin. Y'all take care.
If I were the devil.
All right, brother.
If I were the Prince of Darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree. The... So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old, I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing. Paul Harvey.
Aw, crap. Operator, give me the number for 911.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations,
to boldly go where no man has gone before.